Today we'll be on Galatians chapter 5, and our focus verses will be 13 to 15. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 15, and I'll start us out with prayer. Father, we're so thankful to be in your presence, O Lord. We pray that this morning we will just honor you, O Lord. Help us to give you our hearts and minds, O Lord. Help us to learn what it is that you want us to learn, Father God, and not only to learn it, but to apply it diligently into our lives, O Lord. May we just please you, bring you glory and honor in everything we say, think, or do, O Father. We praise you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 15. You, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Amen. So as we look at these three verses, we see another threat. There is another threat to the Galatian church that Paul is about to introduce. And up until this time, he has been talking about one threat. And we know that threat. Two threats here are the threat of legalism and what some called the threat of license or licentiousness. And we learned about legalism. And legalism can be placed into what's called covenantal nomism. Now, in the first century church, in the time of Paul, in the time of Christ, the Jews believed in what was called covenantal nomism. Now, nomos, the word nomos is Greek. Nomos means law. So when you think of covenant, covenantal nomism, what it means is covenantal legalism. So it was a belief that to come into the Abrahamic covenant, you had to be born into the covenant. And once you're born into the covenant, to stay in the covenant, you have to do the works of the law. So two things happen. First, to be born into the Abrahamic covenant is one thing, but now that you're born into it, you have to do the works of the law, specifically the Mosaic law. And then to sustain the relationship, it required the Jews to do the work. And the whole basis for covenantal nomism or covenantal legalism, some call it Jewish legalism, was this, was that the law is what was it that atoned for the Jews. Not so much Christ, but the law. So this was the error that Paul was bringing out or that he was highlighting to the Jews, is that it's not the law that will save you, but it is Christ who does the saving. But the whole focus for the Judaizers was that the law was the basis for atonement. And this is what the Judaizers were adding into the gospel. This concept of throwing a little bit of yeast into the gospel, yeast being the works of the law, and this would complete the work of Christ. So Paul is arguing against this Jewish thinking, that it was wrong. So we have this first threat, covenantal nomism. Jewish legalism. This was the first threat. And Paul talks about this threat in Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. This is when he goes after this one single threat. But now there's a second threat. And the second threat is what we call license, or some people call it licentiousness, licentious living. So license was the second threat. And here in verse 13, Paul begins to bring up this next threat. And he talks about this threat from Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, to chapter 6, verse 10. So really, to the closure of the book now, he's going to focus not on legalism, but he's going to focus on license, licentiousness. And from here, we also get this doctrine. It was a heresy that still lives today. It's called the doctrine of antinomianism. Okay? So again, nomos means law. So when we look at antinomianism, we get anti, which means, of course, against. And then we get nomianism, nomos, anti-nomos, against the law. So in the first one, in legalism, we get everything about the law, strictly the law. But in antinomianism, or in license, it's nothing about the law. So in one extreme, it's the whole law and nothing but the law. And in the other extreme, license, it's no law at all. One, strict accountability. The other, no accountability. So you're going from one extreme to another extreme. And this is what Paul is arguing against now. He argued against the law. Now he's going to argue against license. And we get some of this in Jude. Can you go to Jude, please? Jude chapter 1, verse 4. Because all the others, Peter argues against license as well. So does Jude and some of the others, John. So here Jude, he's talking about license, okay? He says, for certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who changed the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. So here again, Jude is tackling the same issue that Paul is arguing about, license, licentiousness, where you just do as you please because God has already saved you. And the more you sin, the more grace abounds. So we get this from Jude here, where Jude even says that by doing this, by living licentiously, all you're doing is deteriorating the grace that God has given you. We've all seen the movie James Bond. We get James Bond. James Bond has what? He has a license. A license to kill. This is kind of like the same thing here that Paul is talking about. It goes way back to the old times. A license to do what? To kill. And this is to kill what? To kill the grace of God. Because this is exactly what Jude was talking about. Secret men have crept into the church, and through license of immorality, they deny Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord. So the grace of God is in jeopardy here, because that is what's being killed. Legalism did what? It completely destroyed the grace of God. License is doing the same thing, destroying the grace of God. It's a license. A license for what? For me, for you, for Christians who want to live in this way, to just do as we please. And we've got that license. So Paul is arguing against license. And he argues about this as well in Romans. Can you go to Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2? Now here in this case, again, Paul, he's talking to the Romans because he has just told the Romans, in this case, he told the Romans that where the law exists, sin abounds even more. Because he reminds the Romans, he reminds us, that the law does nothing more than instigate us to sin. And Paul says, and when the law causes you to sin, he says, grace abounds even more. The more you sin, the more grace abounds. This is the grace of God. But here's what Paul says. What shall we say then after telling this to Romans? Should we sin because the law makes us sin? And Paul says, shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? And he says, by no means, no. Just because we sin and we know that God is faithful to forgive us because he is gracious and he is ever faithful, should we continue to sin and live as we please? And Paul says, by no means should we do that. No. We don't live by legalism, and we don't live by license. But see, right there, those are the three ways, even today, that Christians live in that way. Three ways to live. Christians live either by being legalist or by being licentious, because many Christians even today think, well, you know, once saved, I'm always saved. So if I sin, I know this, Christ is faithful to forgive me, so I can just live my life any way I please. That idea, that thinking, still exists even today. So we still have legalism, and we still have license. But the way to live, Paul says, is right in the middle, under the grace of God, in the liberty that Christ has given us. So every single day, we either pick. We're either going to be legalist, or we're going to be licentious, because when we find ourselves sinning, we just pretty much do that. We said, well, even though I know this is wrong, I'm still going to do it. Well, that's licentiousness. That's license. That's you taking advantage of the grace that God has given you. God has not given us grace so we can sin and do as we please. But when we sin, that's kind of like what we're doing. We're kind of shifting over to the license way of life. And sometimes we shift all the way back to the other extreme where now we're legalists and we think, well, I have to do this to be in the good grace of God. To have right standing with God because I sinned, I got to do this. So we keep shifting all the way back and forth. So Paul, in a sense, says you get three ways to live. Legalism, license, or in the freedom that Christ has given you. but you need to find that right one. And Paul is trying to redirect the Galatians to the right way of living. So if I can recap chapter 5 real fast, I'm going to just go over the first 12 verses and just to kind of catch us up on where we are. So we know that in chapter 5, verse 1, Christ talked about this. He talked about the freedom you have. He says, this is your freedom. Christ saved you to be free. And he tells the Galatians, stand in this freedom. Don't take off to the right, to the license way of life, or to the legalism way of life. He says, stand in your freedom. Stand here. This is where you should be. And then he warns them, this is what's going to happen if you deviate to legalism. You're either going to be, Christ will be of no avail to you. He's going to be useless to you if you go back to the law. Or if you go to the law, you're going to have to fulfill the whole law. And the third thing he says, or you will be severed from Christ completely. That relationship you have with Christ is gone. And here's the thing about obedience. Obedience is all about what? Obedience, the basis for obedience, in other words, is all about maintaining a love relationship with God. That's what obedience does. It's obedience to our Father, whom we love, and the Father whom loves us. That's why we obey, because we want to maintain a love relationship. You can't maintain a love relationship under legalism. You can't maintain a love relationship with God under license. It can only be maintained when you are in the freedom of Christ and you're being obedient, not because you have to, you must, you have to do this. No, but because you have a Father who you know loves you and you love him. That's why. That's what Paul is saying here. Love should dictate where you are. And the only place where we can find love is right in the middle in our freedom with Christ through the Holy Spirit. That's the only place. It can be had nowhere else. So those are the dangers. And then he goes on and he says, in verses 5 and 6, he kind of gives them what's called a little summary of the gospel. He talks about the Spirit by faith. They hope for righteousness. There's going to come a time when we will be completely righteous. We will experience righteousness. And Paul reminds him, there will be a time when you will actually experience what Christ is experiencing, what he truly is. We also will truly be just like Christ. And then he moves on to the next verse where he talks about running well. You need to run well. And he talks about the hindrances that curtailed the Galatians from running well. Then he talks about the yeast. The yeast of the law that was sprinkled into the gospel and that corrupted the whole gospel. Then he goes on and he talks about in verses 10 and 11 about who gave him the law. Okay, he reminds us, who gave you grace? How were you called? You were called by grace. Who did the calling? God the Father gave you the calling. And then he says, what is the purpose of your calling? For freedom. So by grace, you were called by God for liberty. That's the whole point here. That is why you were called, to be free. So Paul continues to encourage Galatians, stay free. Stay free. Be free. And he closes out those verses by talking about the stumbling block of the cross and how it stumbles even Christians today. He stumbled them there, and even today, many, rather not Christians, but unbelievers, are stumbled by the news of the cross, by the gospel. And then, of course, he uses some pretty harsh sarcasm where he talks to the Judaizers about mutilating themselves. But in first those 12 verses, it's all about legalism and trying to keep the Galatians away from legalism. But now as you go to verse 13, chapter 5, verse 13, Paul now talks about, you, my brothers, were called. For you were called to freedom, to be free. This is the whole point, Paul says, of why you were called. I said, to be free. You were in bondage before, but now, not tomorrow, not next month, not next year, but right now, it says you are already free. So why would you give up your freedom? So you're free from the guilt of sin. You're free from the penalty of sin. You're free from the influence of sin. You're free from the wrath of God. You're free from the curse of the law. You're free from all the threats of the law. You are completely free in Christ. And remember the words of Christ. If the Son of Man says you are free indeed. That's what Paul is saying. My brothers, you were called to be free. Christ set you completely free. That's where they should be. Not in legalism, not in license, but they're wavering all over the place here. They're all over the map. And you know what? So are we sometimes. We're kind of like all over the place here. Instead of standing firm, or like Paul says, stand firm in your freedom. That's what you were called. Then he says, do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. Now that right there is the beginning of license. When now you're taking your freedom and you're going to use it to do as you please. To please who? Not to please the new nature. Not to please Christ. Not to please God the Father. But to please the flesh. And he says right there, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature, the flesh. It is the flesh who draws you to where? To licentious living. It's not the nature of God in you. It's not the Holy Spirit. You're being led by the old nature. Now, when you look at this word opportunity, opportunity or indulgement, it says to freedom to indulge. The other word is opportunity. You indulge or you're given an opportunity. Here's what that means. In Greek, that means affordmin. Affordmin. What does that mean? It's kind of like a military term again. It's a military term where you use this place as your base of operations. This is where you begin the assault. This is where you begin the attack. So Paul is saying, don't use this freedom as a place where you launch into rebellion against God again. I said, this is not the place. This is not the place where you should launch out, move out, and use the flesh to go out there and begin to sin again. I said, you don't do that. So that word right there is given for a specific reason. It means this is your base of operations right here, your freedom. You operate from what? We operate from the freedom of Christ. That's where we live. That's where we should be living. It's Paul, the argument he's been making. But he says, don't use it for the wrong reason. Don't use it now to give the flesh every opportunity. You give the flesh a foothold. Oh, the flesh will create a stranglehold on you. You don't do that. So that's what Paul is saying here. So opportunity, again, refers to a place from which an attack or an assault is made. Paul is telling him, don't use your freedom for that. Do not. He already told him why they were called. They were called to be free from the bondage of sin. Don't go to legalism, because that's what happened, but don't go to license, because eventually that's what happens too. So when we look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, and Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. The two threats there, okay? If I was to look at the room here, I would say, okay, so legalism is on that side, on that far extreme, and license is on that far extreme. So we know this. What happens when we're legalist? Paul says, when we're legalist, in chapter 5, verse 1, he said this, therefore keep standing firm, do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. So Paul says, when you indulge in what? When you indulge in legalism, you put on the yoke of slavery. That's what happens when you indulge in legalism. Now, in chapter 5, verse 1, he begins this verse with, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Can you go to chapter 5, verse 1? Now remember, this right here is the first significant threat to the Galatian church. What is it? Legalism. He said, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Stand firm in your freedom. And if you don't stand firm in your freedom, if you indulge in legalism, it's going to result in what? It's going to result in you being yoked. Being yoked, putting on the yoke of slavery. You're going to bow down your head and you're going to be yoked with slavery. So that's the consequence of being a legalist. You're yoked to slavery. But Paul begins this very first threat with the words, it is for freedom that Christ set us free. First threat. But now you go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Now this is the second threat, license. And Paul begins the second threat the very same way. He says, you, my brothers, were called to be free. He could have added, you were called to be free, so stand firm in this freedom. Again, the second threat, and he addresses it the same way. How do you fight the first threat? By standing free in Christ. How do you combat the second threat license? Again, by standing in your freedom. He said, do not use your freedom. Okay, in the first case, we know that if you indulge in legalism, what's the consequence? You put on the yoke of slavery. If you indulge in license, what's the consequence? Well, now you give the flesh an opportunity to do whatever the flesh wants to do. That is the consequence. So we get one consequence, the yoke of slavery, another consequence, the opportunity for the flesh to do as the flesh pleases, to do whatever. So here's the thing. Where legalism demands strict accountability, responsibility. If you're in legalism, you do the law and nothing but the law. There's no freedom there to do anything else but do the law. That's all you do. Do the law. Now, when you go to the other extreme license, well, you don't have to do the law. It says forget the law. Remember, antinomianism against the law? Well, you don't have to worry about the law. You can just go on sinning because the more you sin, the more grace abounds and God is faithful to forgive you. Do as you please. Two different extremes. So you go from polar opposites, one to the other, and again, Paul's encouraging us, stay in the middle. Stay where we were called to be. So it's easy for the Jews, because the Jews saw this kind of, the Jews noticed licentiousness. That's why the Jews were strict legalists, because they understood that this gospel of Jesus Christ could be corrupted. And people could begin to be what? To be licentious. Do what they as they please because they're no longer keeping the law. Christ is faithful to forgive them, so they can just do whatever they want. The Jews understood this. That's what the Jews were trying to go back to the law. Go back to the law, obey the law, because if not, you can just do what you please, do as you please. So these were the issues. So in a church, you might have a church that is fairly loose, not too many standards. And then you might have another church where it's an extreme, where they're into legalism. You do this and this and this, and this is the way this church operates. You go to another church, and they're the exact opposite. They're more loose. The members have a different kind of attitude, and you notice the difference. But they do it for the same reason, because one church says, well, that church right there, yeah, they're not. No, they're just too loose. They don't follow any rituals. They're undisciplined. They don't really love and serve the Lord the right way. But we do, and this is how we do it. We do it this way, this way, this way, this way. So churches even operate in that way. We know some churches are fairly legalist, and some are not. But we go to all these extremes. So somewhere between license and legalism, Paul says that's where you need to be, right in the middle. So when he says stand firm, that's why he was telling them to stand firm. Don't go to the legalist side. Don't go to the license side. He said, both are bad, and you're doing both. Paul brings it up. Why? Because he understood that the church in Galatia was doing both of these. Not just one, but both. They're engaged in both kinds of living. And like I said earlier, Christians engage in all three kinds of living. Legalist, right in the middle, we're free in Christ and we love the Lord and we want to obey him. And then the next day, well, we're in the license. We're kind of sinning and doing as we please, knowing that, okay, well, God's going to forgive me. We have those attitudes. They applied back then, they apply today. So Christian liberty. Christian liberty, that is the point. That is the point where the Holy Spirit gives the desire and the enablement, the power to please God. Why? Because he is our Father, and we are his sons and his daughters. That is where we should be. Not pleasing the flesh by doing as we want to do, or not being legalists and trying to do the law, but being in the place where we are obeying God because we want to maintain a love relationship, because we love the Lord, and we know that the Lord loves us. And we want to stay in that relationship. That is the whole point of the Christian life, is maintaining our right relationship with God. And we don't do that by deviating all over the place. That is not the right way of life. You know, somebody called this, they called it a positive good and a negative good. And this man said that the negative good was when you live according to the law and you just want to do what the law says to do. And he said, that's a negative good because it's good. He said, but there's no love in it. None. You're just doing what needs to be done. I'm going to do A, I'm going to do B, I'm going to do C. I'm going to do these things because they're right to do. He said, well, that's a negative good. He said, a positive good is when you do A, you do B, and you do C because you love the Lord. He said, that is a positive good. He said, but many Christians live doing what is a negative good and not a positive good. And Paul kind of gets to this here in a bit. We'll see that. He says, but we're busy sometimes being negative good. We do things for God because, you know, they're good to do, but not so much because of love. Not only love for God, but love for one another. And Paul hits that in this very same verse. He says to indulge a sinful nature, rather serve one another in love. Serve one another in love. Here's the thing about liberty, Christian liberty. We know this, that when we were saved, the Bible says that we were translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. So if you have liberty as a Christian, you need what? You need light. Light directs you. We know that the scriptures are the light. David said that himself in the Psalms. He says, your lamp, O Lord, is a light unto my feet, a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. We need light to be in the freedom of Christ. Now, if we're a captive, if we're in legalism, or if we're in license, you don't need light for that. Because if I'm sinning, you know what? I can sin in darkness. Forget the light. No light needed for someone to be sinning. Plenty of darkness. And if you're in bondage, and if put on the yoke of slavery, well, guess what? When you're a slave, you can be guided in darkness too. You're in dark. You're in bondage. Someone tells you what to do, and that's all there is to it. Those are areas of darkness. And we're told, don't go into the dark. If we have liberty in Christ, well, then stay in the light. Stay in the light of God's truth. Stay in the light. But moving out of there, you just drift into darkness. And someone who is free has no business going into the dark. Legalism takes you to the dark. License takes you to the dark. And we are not to go there. We're children what? Children of the light. Not children of darkness. We were children of darkness, but not any longer. So we stay in the light because people who have been freed are now in the light. And God is light. That's where we are. Light. So the truth is that anyone who uses his grace, his freedom is an opportunity to sin, is rebelling against God again. Rebelling against Christ. Rebelling against the Holy Spirit. Pure rebellion. That is not right. So, Paul shows us, how do you overcome the flesh? Paul says, how do you overcome the flesh? But Paul gives us the answer right here. He says, here's the antidote. To overcome the flesh, because the flesh is what? The flesh is all about doing this, pleasing the flesh. The flesh wants to do this, and the flesh is your inmost being, your personality. The flesh wants to serve the flesh. The flesh wants that flesh to serve this flesh. This flesh doesn't want to serve that flesh, but I would appreciate if the flesh out there serves this flesh. Ultimately, that's what the flesh wants. It wants to be served. It wants to be gratified. But it doesn't really want to serve anyone else. But it does want to be served. So Paul says, what is the antidote for that? How do you combat that? And he gives us the answer, serve one another. You become the servant. And they are your servant too. Serve one another. Overcome the flesh by serving one another. How? In love. In love. He says that is the only way to overcome license. Especially license in the church. Licentious living. You overcome the flesh by serving one another in love. And love, again, is a whole basis of our relationship with God. All based on love. Christ said in the Bible, he says, they will know you, they will know that you are my disciples by the love that you have one for another. one for another. Paul says, that's the antidote. That's a solution. The solution. You have a problem? Go back to this. You were doing this before. Paul says, you were serving one another in love. You're no longer doing that. Because apparently, there's a problem in the Galatian church. And it wasn't only legalism. It was license. Doing as they pleased. And Paul says, get back into what you were doing before. Began to serve one another. So in verse 14, can you go to verse 14, please? Now, throughout these passages, Paul is being very harsh. And we know this. As we study Galatians, we know this. Paul has been very hard about the law. I mean, he has been scrutinizing the law and saying how hard the law is and how the law instigates sin. It provokes us to sin. It's our tutor. It's our guardian. He's been pretty harsh about the law. But here in verse 14, Paul speaks rather kindly about the law. He says the entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law summed up in one command. See, this word summed up. The word summing also it has in the Greek word pipilorotai. It has two meanings. It means to sum up and to fulfill. So it's not only one meaning it has, but two meanings that Paul was trying to introduce back into the Galatian church. So when he uses this word, sum up, it means this, okay? It means on one hand, to go to love your neighbor as yourself. And you go to Leviticus, please, chapter 19, verse 18. Okay. Earlier, Paul said that the way to overcome the flesh is to serve one another in love. And he's going back to the Old Testament because that's what Paul used to preach from. Okay, he was a Pharisee. The Old Testament is all they had, and they knew that. So Paul says, he goes back to the Old Testament, and here we see this. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people. Again, the Galatian church. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what do they have? They have grudges against one another. Against one another. We have grudges sometimes in the church. We have grudges. And here, Paul, or rather Moses, is saying this. He says, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Don't give what? Don't give an opportunity for the flesh to go out there and be vengeful and be vindictive, be mean, be hateful. Don't give the flesh that opportunity. No, because that's what the flesh wants. If somebody hurts this flesh, well, this flesh wants to hurt the other flesh too. Paul says, don't give the flesh that opportunity. You don't have that opportunity. As much as you think you want it, as much as the flesh wants it, you don't have that opportunity in Christ to be vengeful. No, Paul said, in other words, the Old Testament says, but love your neighbor as yourself. And I am the Lord your God, who gave Moses the instructions. Paul says, this is what sums up the law of love. To love your neighbor as yourself. That sums it up. But something that we need to know, something we need to learn, that the law needs to be summed up in our lives. Through your life, sum up the law. Give it a summation. Love your neighbor as yourself. So it refers, again, to just summing up the law, bringing it to the next point, which Paul mentions. Because summing up the law also means fulfilling the law. The law of love, that's how you fulfill the law. Can you go to Romans chapter 13, verse 8? And here Paul says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. So when Paul says in Galatians, serve one another out of love, the point is that is how you fulfill the law. That is how the law in your life is summed up. because you are loving others as you love yourself. That is how we fulfill the law of love. And we can't do this out of our own power, because can you go to Matthew chapter 22, please, verses 37 to 40. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." This is the law of love, the law of Christ. And this I know, this we already know, that we can't fulfill the law. As much as we want, as hard as we try, the law can tell us, do this, do that. But the point is, we know that in our own nature, we really can't do this. As hard as we try, it's hard to fulfill the law, because the flesh wants us not to fulfill the law. How do you fulfill the law? Because Paul already gave us that. He already told us how. In Galatians 5, go to Galatians 5, chapter verse 6, please. "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." There's point one. How? Faith expressing itself through love. And can you go to back to 13, chapter 5, verse 13? "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." Okay, we know this. The only way for me, the only way for you to sum up the law in your life, to fulfill the law of God in your life, is to do it by faith through the Holy Spirit in love. That is the only way. If the Holy Spirit is not directing your life, if he is not in control of your life, it would be impossible. It will be impossible to serve one another in love. It is impossible to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, and soul without the Holy Spirit. It is impossible to love your neighbor as yourself without the Holy Spirit in your love. It is impossible to do any of that without faith in Christ, without the life, the love of Christ in your heart. Impossible. I know this, the flesh will not allow you to fulfill the great commandments. It is the life of Christ that enables you, empowers you to fulfill the law of love. It is only being in the right place with Christ and the freedom that Christ has given you, having the right relationship with God. It is only in that place where you can fulfill the law of love. This is the only place where you can overcome the flesh. It is the only place where you can steer clear of legalism. But Paul says the antidote is what? The antidote is love. If you look at the two greatest commandments that Christ gave us, two great commandments, loving God and loving others. What is in the center of both of those commands? Love. Without love, we can't do nothing about God. Without love, we can't do nothing about our neighbors. It all hinges on the love of Christ. And the Bible tells us he, the Holy Spirit, has poured the love of Christ into our hearts. It is only love. So when Paul says, stay clear of licentiousness, what is the antidote? Don't love the flesh. Don't give the flesh an opportunity. Don't do that. In other words, turn your love and love one another. A healthy love. It's okay for a man, for a woman, to have a healthy love for self. You need to have a healthy love of yourself. When you have a healthy love of yourself, you can have a healthy love for others. But if the love for self is narcissistic and it's all about the flesh, it's all about me, and it's all about others serving me, that is bad. That is what Paul says. That is licentiousness. That's you doing as you feel like doing. That's you just pleasing yourself. He says that is a wrong kind of self-love. Self-love is what? It's destructive. It's what, in a sense, it's putting you back into another form of bondage. You're back in slavery, a different kind of slavery. And Paul reminds us, okay, what's the way out? He gave it to us. It's love. Love. Love one another. Love is in the essence of God. He says, that is a solution. You're bickering, you're quarreling, you're fighting in the Galatian churches. Go back to serving one another. So this fulfillment, this law of love, it's still a divine requirement. It's not like it no longer applies. Christ gave us this two great commandments that apply today. They applied in the time of Christ. They apply today, this very hour. That is a way. He gave us a way to love the Lord. He gave us a way to love one another. He says those divine commands, guess what? We are supposed to fulfill them. We don't get to take him off the table and say, well, they don't apply. They're laws. Yes, they're laws of love. Laws of love that we are required to fulfill. And Paul has shown you how to fulfill them. Being free. Standing firm in your freedom. In Christ. That is the only way. Being directed, not by the flesh, but being directed by the Holy Spirit. But if the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with your life, if you've given control to the flesh, well, then you're going to lose out on all that. It's hard to love someone else when you're busy loving your own self. There's a right way and a wrong way. But this divine requirement still applies. So do we want to stop using our liberty as a license? Do we want to stop? If we do, then we do what Paul says. Begin to serve one another. That's the only way. There is no other way. That's the way. That's the solution. That is the antidote. And then we go to verse 15. In verse 15, it says, if. So it immediately begins with a condition. If. If you keep on biting. So it's conditional. It says, don't do this. If you're going to do this, you're going to destroy yourself. You don't have to. So Paul says, that's a condition. It's a bad condition if you do it. But you don't have to. Christ gave us a lot of conditions in the Bible. He always preceded many of his statements with if you love me. If. Paul says, if you keep biting and devouring each other. And the thing is here, this was going on in the Galatian churches. That's why Paul is bringing it up. He's just not talking about it because he feels like talking about it. He's talking about it because it's happening in the Galatian churches. And it is bad because he uses some pretty bad terminology. Biting and eating each other up. When you bite, you tear flesh out and you chew it and then you devour it. That is a pretty bad progression. That is what was happening in the Galatian church. You see, when dogs and wolves and lions, when we see animals biting and tearing off flesh and eating each other up, that is part of their nature. That is what they do. That is how they survive. But when you see sheep, God's sheep, biting and tearing and devouring each other up, that is not in the nature of sheep to do. Lions, wolves, dogs, they do that. Sheep, God's lambs, the lambs of Christ, they don't do that. They don't go around biting and chewing and devouring. That's not in their nature. That is a bad nature. That comes from what? That comes from you, from me, from everyone else. That comes from the Galatians doing what? Giving opportunity to the flesh. You give opportunity to the flesh, and that's what the flesh does. Go after someone else, and you backbite. Whether you do it to the person's face or to his back, it doesn't matter. But you're biting, and you're chewing, and you're tearing up until you devour somebody up. And it's like one pastor said. One pastor said, if I'm going to be bitten, Let me be bitten by a dog, not by my sheep. The psalmist talked about this. Can you go to Psalm 55, please? Psalm 55, we'll start at verse 12. Here's what the psalmist says. He says, if an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were raising himself against me, I could hide from him. But it is you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship as we walked with a throng at the house of God. Next verse, please. 15. But it is you. Let death take my enemies by surprise. Let them go down alive to the grave, for evil finds lodging among them. Okay, well, the first three verses there, okay? In the first three verses, the psalmist basically says, if someone hurts me, if it's a stranger, if it's an enemy, I understand. The psalmist, I understand that if someone who is outside of my fellowship, who's not my companion, if they attack me, that's one thing. But when my friend, my companion, someone who's part of my life, when that person attacks me, it's that pain sticks with him for a long time. It's one thing for someone you don't really know to just insult you. But when it's a friend of yours, when it's a fellow member of the church, when he or she is doing the biting and the tearing off and the devouring, you said that is a pain that lingers. It stays with you. So that is more harmful. It is more terrible. It's kind of easy to just let go of pain when someone else does it, but when it's someone in your family who hurts you and injures you, oh, that lingers for a long time. And Paul says that is what's happening here in the church. You guys are in the midst of devouring one another. Cheap doing what's not in the nature of a cheap to do. And that's what you're doing. But when you see that right there, and you go back to the verse where Paul just spoke about earlier in 13, where he says, but through love, serve one another. Well, they're not serving one another. They're killing each other. Words kill. They kill relationships. And you know what? Churches do this too. When one church begins to talk about the other church down the street, well, that church does that and that and that and that. But we do it this way. We do this and this and this. You know what that is? That's nothing more than a church biting another church and maybe devouring another church because now we're pointing fingers. Oh, look at that church. Look at what they're doing. They're not like us. Well, that's nothing more than biting and tearing and devouring. Churches do it one to another, and members in the church do it one to another. When we slander and we demean each other, we're hateful against one another. That's what we're doing. We're doing what Paul's saying right here. We're biting and chewing off and devouring one another. He said that kind of life should not exist in the church. It should not exist in us. But you see this progression. First you bite, then you chew out, then you devour. It starts slowly, but my goodness, it graduates to something bad. When you just destroy a person because of what you do, what we do. A life. Someone said that a life without the love of God, a life without the life of God is a life that is lived in the level of an animal, because that's what animals do. But a life lived in God and with God will not do that. Will not do that. But it kind of makes sense why Paul is now telling, don't go to legalism, don't go to license. Stay firm. Stand fast, stand firm in your freedom. In this freedom that Christ is giving you. If you don't stand firm in this freedom, if we don't stand firm in this freedom, we're going to wind up being legalist, or we're going to wind up being licentious, and we're going to wind up destroying one another. That's what happens when you're all over the map. You're unstable. We're double-minded instead of being single-minded for Christ. All over the map. And it's like a pastor said, he says, you're either going to be in one dimension or the other. I said, but you choose. I said, every day, Christians choose from the three lifestyles, the lifestyle of being free in Christ, the lifestyle of being a legalist, or the lifestyle of being in license. I said, we choose. But if we choose wrong, I said, it's only to our detriment. Because choosing wrong will always lead back to a place of bondage, to a place of slavery, to a place of darkness. And we were called into the light. So we struggle with this. This is reality. It's not something that was happening to the Galatian church. It's something that happens even today. But the solution here, the solution is to love one another in love. And we can't do that. Actually, we can't do that. Because if we know that we have been redeemed, that we have right standing with God, that He has adopted us into the family, that the Holy Spirit has shed His love into our hearts and minds, that we can live lives that God expects us to live. Because this whole basis, again, the whole basis of this relationship is based on love. Loving God and knowing that God loves us. So here Paul begins his discourse, because he's just going to go more as we delve more into Galatians chapter 5 and 6. He'll be just talking more and more about this issue of license and what licentiousness does to the believer. Christian freedom. So Christian freedom, it's not a license. We don't have a license to exploit one another, to use one another. You know, when Christ was here, can you go to Matthew 20, verse 28, please? Okay. Jesus gave us the best example. If we want an example of how to live, we look at the life of Christ. And Jesus says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Jesus came, why? Not to be served, but to serve. Here is God in the flesh saying, I'm here to serve you. So if we're here in the church, we should be just like our Savior, just like our Redeemer, and we should say in the church, I am here to serve you. We should find a point of service in the church. We shouldn't come to church so the church can just serve us, because that's what the flesh wants. We come to church every Sunday or Wednesdays or Fridays or whenever because I want to be served. That's what the flesh wants. But no, we should come to church to do just what Christ did. I am here to serve. What is it that I can do in the church? What is it that I can do in New Life Church to serve? How can I serve my brothers? How can I serve my sisters? What can I do to be like my Savior? To be like my Redeemer? To serve. Because if He served, that means I need to serve too. And Paul says, that is a solution to you devolving into the license or into legalism, is to find your place to serve one another. And we have freedom in Christ to do just that, to serve. But if we're coming to church because we want to be served, well, that's the wrong attitude. Paul says, serve one another. Find your place. And it could be a small little place. It could be a small little ministry. It could be something small. But at least we're serving. We know that babies do very little, so a baby can still serve to a small scale until they begin to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. But we can all serve some way. And I know there's needs in the church to serve. We just need to serve. To be what? To be obedient. Because that kind of obedience pleases God. If God, Christ, came to serve, so should we. Serve. We just need to serve. And that is hard. Why? Because the flesh, we give the flesh opportunity. The flesh says, no. I don't have time to serve. I got too much stuff already on my plate. Don't have time for that. But Paul says, don't give the flesh this license to do as it pleases. Bring it what? Bring it under the control, under the direction of the Holy Spirit. That's where freedom is. It's funny, right? Because Christ adopts us into the family. God adopts us into the family. To be what? To be his slaves, his servants. But in there, there's this essence of love. It's not do this, do that. No, it's a different kind of service, a different kind of slavehood. One built not on evil, one built on good, on love. That's where we belong. But we just need to understand that. Build that into our hearts and minds. Again, when Paul says, fulfill the law, we need to begin to fulfill the law. We need to learn how to fulfill the law. The law of love. Like he said earlier, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's where he begins. Paul says, love your neighbor as yourself. And if you do that, then you won't bite each other, chew off each other, or devour each other. If you're busy loving each other, you won't be doing the other stuff, the bad stuff, the fleshly stuff. Again, not in the nature of cheap to kill, to destroy. That's not what sheep do. Imagine a wolf goes into a pasture and this wolf goes out there and says, I'm going to eat me some of these sheep. And he goes and he sees the sheep. And what are the sheep doing? They're devouring each other. And the wolf says, well, forget this. Maybe I picked the wrong flock. Maybe I'll go to a different flock. Because this flock here, they look pretty mean. And there have been some churches where what are pretty mean. And we should not be like that. The law of love, it can be fulfilled. We need to be in the right place. Where Paul says, stand fast in the freedom that Christ has given you. It was for this purpose that he set you free. You're free from sin. You're free from sin, therefore don't go back to license. You're free from the law, don't go back to legalism. You're free from all that. Stand fast then in your freedom. You stand in your freedom. That's where you begin to love one another. That's where you begin to serve one another. That's where you begin to fulfill the great commandment of God. To love the Lord with all the heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That is the only place where it begins, in the freedom that Christ has given you. Under the law, I couldn't love God. I was busy doing the works of the law. Under license, I can't love God. I'm busy loving myself. But in this new freedom that Christ has given me, there we can begin to love the Lord thy God and to love one another. Only in that place. So as we go, I encourage us, understand in these three little verses what Paul has said. Stand fast. He has given us freedom in Christ. Don't give the flesh an opportunity. Okay? The grace of God is not a license to do as you please. The grace of God is not a license to kill the grace of God. No. We don't have that kind of license. Stay away from licentiousness. Stay away from legalism. Find your right place in Christ. That's why he said, stand fast in your freedom. Stand firm. So I encourage us, as we go into 2021, let's live that way. Let's learn to live as what? As free men and free women, free sons, free daughters in Christ Jesus. It was for this that he set us free. Let's stand fast in his freedom. Stand there. Amen. Let me close in prayer. Father,